God is great. Amen.
Amen.
You know what just tickles me pink? Is that okay to say? Tickle me. What just tickles me pink is that God is great no matter how we feel about him. God is great no matter whether we believe it or not. He always is as he is. Amen. We sang the song, I Will Make You Fishers of Men, which is a vacation Bible school song and a Sunday school song that I learned when I was a kid. What a great song. Jesus walked along and he called these two guys, Simon and Andrew, who were in a boat and they were fishing, and he called them to be his disciples. And it says, and they left their boat and followed him. And then he saw the other two guys, and they were in the boat with their father Zebedee, Simon and John, and they were with Zebedee, and they left their dad and the hired hands in the boat and followed Jesus. I'm thinking, my gosh, these guys, this is just a guy walking along, and he looks at them and he says, follow me, and they dropped everything and followed him. That's a great story. They were fishermen. See, I like fishing. Anybody here ever been fishing? Raise your hand if you've ever been fishing in your whole life, ever. Even just in a minnow pond or something. All right, so I like fishing. It's an art form, isn't it? Isn't it hard to catch fish sometimes? Yeah. See, I'm going to talk about something today, but I'm talking about something else. So try and figure out what I'm talking about. Keep that in mind, that Jesus called disciples to be fishers of men. And I want to talk about fishing because it's one of my favorite pastimes that I don't get to do very often. But I love to fish. And I was trying to figure out why I love to fish. It's like the fish is good to eat, but that's not why I love to fish. It's not like I'm catching my food, right? I don't have any dinner if I don't go catch fish. That's not it. What is it about fishing that I like? Anyone who's ever been fishing knows that there's almost as many ways and secrets to catching fish as there are people fishing at any given moment. And if you run into somebody who's been fishing a long time, they might let you in on a couple of their secrets. Or like we used to do when we were teenagers, we'd go find somebody who was fishing, and we'd ask them what their secrets were, and they'd lie to us because they didn't want us fishing near them, see? They'd say, oh, yeah, if you go around the corner over there, there's this little area. Just fish right in there. You always catch them right in there. Of course, that wasn't true at all, right? But he didn't want us fishing near him because he knew that we were young guys and we would disturb his fishing time. I've been fishing hundreds of times, and most always it's a lot of fun and good sport. There's seldom a bad day fishing. And somebody once said that a bad day fishing is better than a good day working. Amen? Amen? Yeah. I've told many people that sometimes catching fish is not the real reason to go fishing at all. Sometimes it's just sitting there. Sometimes it's just sitting there by the water, waiting, expecting, watching. I've been fishing in rivers, lakes, seas, oceans, tributaries, creeks, ponds. I've caught fish as small as my nose. Well, it's not that small, but it's pretty small, okay? I've caught fish as small as my nose, and I've caught fish as big as I am, which is real amazing. Yeah, you want to, Jerry, where'd you catch that fish? I've caught fish that could not be brought on board the boat. I've been out in the ocean fishing, and I caught a fish called a scorpion fish. Had its spine sticking out of its body. And when the people who ran the boat, the charter, they saw that, they said, don't bring it in, don't bring it in. And they took a club, and they held the line out, and they clubbed the fish against the boat until it fell off into the water. And even the pelicans wouldn't eat that one. Toxic, poisonous fish. I've caught a shark, which was just as dangerous as it was flopping around on the deck of the boat as it would have been if I was swimming with it. I've caught fish from very deep waters, which when brought up from the deep, their eyes and mouths just kind of exploded because it brought them up too fast. They were dead before they ever hit the boat. They were called groupers. Groupers are, I guess they call them cochinos because they're just these big fat fish. Cochino means pig in Spanish. That was my first time deep sea fishing, and I've already told this story to some of you, and if you've heard it before, just bear with me because it's a good story. And remember, I'm not necessarily talking about fishing here. It was my first time deep sea fishing. And it was scary for me because I didn't know what to expect. These guys took me out in a boat called a punga, which is about 25 feet long. And they put their lines in the water like this, hand over hand. It was twined 250 feet down. And they gave me pieces of bicycle inner tube to put on my fingers so when we pulled the line back up with fish on them, they wouldn't burn my hands. And after a few times in the water, I became comfortable with how to do it. As I sat there in this rocking punga out in the ocean, the Sea of Cortez. And the first couple times, these guys pulled up these massive fish, and I said, I got to get me one of them. And I kept my arm out there with my ball of twine 250 feet down with three sardines on the hook and a big sinker this big. And I'm sitting there in this punga rocking back and forth, rocking. My stomach starts to get a little queasy, and I'm rocking. And I closed my eyes. I said, I can't get it because I feel current and I feel everything on this line. I haven't felt what felt like a fish yet. And so as I sat there on that boat, I closed my eyes. I said, you know, maybe if I close my eyes and I'll be able to sense what's going on. And sure enough, I felt the tug. And I said, I'm going to take a chance. And I jumped up and I began to haul in this line over and over with my hands over and over. It's real. It's piling up at my feet. And 250 feet of line, and I pulled it up, and there floating on the water was the biggest fish I ever saw in my life. His eyes were bulged out, and his mouth was bulged out. And one of these guys grabbed a gaff hook, and he grabbed that fish, and he pulled it into the boat, and they put it in this big tank under the seat. And I was ecstatic. I said, I got to get me another one of them. I've never fished like that before. These fish were huge. They were groupers. And the guy that I was with after the day of fishing sold them at the fish market. You see, the fish had value to them besides being good to eat. That was a great day fishing. I learned a lot that day. I'd never fished without a rod and a reel before. In fact, I was thinking maybe last time this sermon came up, Father David was up here and he was casting a reel from, remember that? But I thought, you know, maybe I couldn't do that with the string over the string, right? I've caught fish while trolling a boat at a very high speed. You ever fish in a boat while the boat's moving fast? Yeah. We trolled over the top of this school of fish. They were called Dorado. The word Dorado means gold in Spanish. They were mahi-mahi, okay? They were called dolphin fish because they're snub-nosed like this. And we trolled over the top of them, and there were five lines in the water with these big casting reels and rods over the line in the water, and we would sit down and reel these fish in, these big Dorados that were gold, and within a half hour after we got them into the boat, the gold color was gone, and they turned the color of gray fish. But they're called Dorado because they're gold-colored. We caught 48 of them in an hour and a half. I couldn't move my arms the next day, but it was a good kind of sore. It was a good kind of soreness that said, yes, we caught fish. I'm a little tired, but it was worth the trip. Because some fish were caught. When I was a kid, my family grew up near the Yahara River in Madison, Wisconsin. We learned how to fish when I was 5 or 6 years old. I remember to this day my dad showing us kids how to put the worm on a little hook, putting it in the water and catching bullheads, which are terrible. They're no good for anything, but catching them was fun. We'd just take them off the hook and they had spines that'd sting you if you weren't careful and throw them behind us and catch more. And the more accustomed we became to fishing, the more fish we caught. Go figure, right? The more you fished, the more fish you caught. Because why? Because we became comfortable with it. We learned how to fish. We knew what we were doing. And after a while, it just became easy. Sometimes when you're fishing, it's good to just move the bait ever so slowly across the bottom of the river so that the prospective catches would think it was alive. Sometimes you'd hold perfectly still and watch a bobber. You ever fish with a bobber? This round thing on the top of the water and underneath the water. And the bobber, if you watched the bobber, it would tell you what was going on underneath. The bobber would sit there on the top of the water, and as soon as it started to flicker a little bit, as soon as it started to move, go up and down, you'd know that there was a fish teasing that bait under the water. And as soon as you saw that bobber disappear, you'd give it a good yank, and there would be a fish on the end of that. The bobber was always telling you what was happening below. There are many sizes of bobbers, just as there are many sizes of hooks. You can get a little tiny bobber or a big bobber. Some people call them corks because in the old days they used to use a cork. If you use a large hook to catch fish, if you use a big hook to catch fish and the fish are small, they won't be able to get the hook. It's too big. But if you use too small of a hook to catch big fish, they'll just swallow the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. That's where that came from, by the way. Yeah. Or worse yet, they'll break the hook and the string and you'll have to re-equip your whole line with everything. Fishing can become an obsession. And there are many people who would like to spend the most of their time fishing. That would be me. I'd be one of those. I'd love to fish all the time. Sometimes you can sit all day and never get a single bite. Other times when we went fishing in Canada, we had a fishing trip to Canada, there were so many fish that every time we put our line in the water, you immediately got a fish. Immediately. There were so many fish in the water up there. In fact, it might be hard to believe for a true fisherman like Elton here, it might be hard to believe that we actually got tired of fishing. Because there was no sport anymore. You'd be out on the boat, put the line in, and boom, you got a fish. We took pictures of them. We caught them and released them. We kept just enough for dinner. That type of fishing, of course, was the exception. Most of the time, fishing requires some skill and requires a lot of patience. Another thing about fishing is that it requires a little bit of study and experience to get good at it. I've seen novice fishermen go out after reading a book. Here's how to fish. And they go out and try to fish. It doesn't work that way. You got to do it to become good at it. Jesus called some fishermen to be his disciples. These men did what was called net fishing. I've thrown a net in the water and hauled it in at the shore to get sardines, because that's what we use for bait. They were good-sized fish. But we use those for bait. But these guys were out in a boat, and they would put a net in the water, cast it out, and the net would sink, and then they would troll the boat a little bit and drag the net and then pull it back up into the boat and see what was in it. Sometimes there was nothing. Sometimes somebody's boot, right? But sometimes there were fish in that net. And they would take the fish out, put them in the container in the boat, and throw the net back out again. And they dragged that net. The nets were pretty big, and they took some getting used to, and it was easy to get them tangled or torn. In fact, you see in our reading today, two of the guys were mending nets when Jesus called them. That's what they did. They fixed the nets that they were used to throw into the water. And these fishermen usually came from a family of fishermen. They learned to fish because their daddy fished and their daddy's daddy fished. They came from that long line of fishermen. James and John were the son of Zebedee, and they left the boat and their father and the hired servants and followed Jesus. Can you imagine their dad? Where are you going? What are you doing? We're in the middle of fishing. Get back in here. We're not done. No, they got out of the boat and they followed Jesus. Andrew and Simon Peter left their nets, it says, and followed him. Their boat's out there, the nets are in the boat, and they got out of the boat and followed Jesus. Jesus simply called them and told them that he would make them, I'll teach you how to fish for people, Jesus said. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. You think this is something, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. It seems a little strange to me, as I said earlier, that these men would just give up their livelihood and follow somebody that they didn't really know, but they did. When the disciples decided to answer Jesus' call and follow him, they slowly learned. Over the course of 3.5 years, they slowly learned how to fish for people. They were real novices at first, making lots of mistakes and breaking some hooks and losing some bait, you know. But they fished from a boat. And what is the boat? The boat is the kingdom of God. The boat is the church, too, isn't it? Have you ever heard the word fellowship? That's the ship, huh? The ship from which you fish is the fellowship, the church, the kingdom of God, of which we're all part. The line, the bait, the sinker, the bobber, and the reel are all the holy scriptures, your own testimony. You can fill in wherever you want. The Holy Spirit, your obedience and willingness to take the risk and chance and share the love of God with somebody. That's what the hook and line and sinker and bobber are. We sometimes encounter people who can't be brought into the kingdom or into the boat because they're toxic and poisonous, like the scorpion fish. We have to allow more experienced people to handle those, like Jesus did with his disciples when they said, we couldn't cast the demon out of this one. And Jesus said, sometimes lots of prayer and fasting are necessary. When the disciples were dealing with people, sometimes they had to move slowly and deliberately. Sometimes it seemed like they had to stay perfectly still and quiet until the right moment. That bait they used was very good at hooking anyone who really was hungry. Fishing for the souls of men takes a great deal of patience. Some men and women don't like the idea of getting hooked, right? Some people, no matter how hungry they are, they don't want to eat that food. Sometimes we fishers of men encounter people who like the shark, resist God's call and flop around in their lives until their last gasp for breath. I've talked to people who seem to explode like the groupers when they were brought out from their deep pit of despair and destruction into the kingdom of God. They exploded with joy at being brought into what they never knew. And the explosion was the good type that took their life away so that they could receive a new one. Some people are attracted to the liturgy in the church. Some are attracted to the beauty of the building's interior or exterior. Some are attracted to the music, some to the prayers, but most all of them are attracted to that heavenly bait, which would be the Holy Spirit. The bait that never stops drawing, that never stops bringing people in. And the great, I say this with all due respect, the great bobber of heaven, the great, the wonderful, the one we affectionately call the hound of heaven, that Holy Spirit who moved upon the waters of creation, that same Holy Spirit still moves along the waters of our land, baiting and catching and putting to death the people who are drawn to him. In Psalms it says the Lord is pleased at the death of his servants. And you know what that means. We're not talking about physical death here, are we? You see, to come into the kingdom of God, you must first die and then be born once again, all anew, with a new life. That's what the bait of heaven does. It catches people and puts them to death. And sometimes people need to have a gaff hook to haul them into the kingdom of God, into the ship, into the fellowship. Then the people who are caught by that one Holy Spirit who hovers over the moving water, those people who are caught and brought into the church have moving water poured over their heads as they become part of the kingdom, as the people of the kingdom sit and watch. They watch the water as it moves and the holiness and stillness of the moment of baptism. And the masses of fish who are caught by the calling and tugging of the Holy Spirit have heard the message of Jesus who went about, it said today in our gospel, preaching the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. Right here, the kingdom of God is at hand, he said. These people have repented of who they were, died to that old person, that old life, and have been drawn up into the net of the kingdom of God. The incredible thing about the bait used by the disciples and available to us today is that it works on any kind of fish, any kind of person. That bait, that wonderful Holy Spirit, that holy message that you have, the word of your testimony, the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, that bait works on anybody who's hungry. That one Holy Spirit draws all people to him. That one who was lifted up from the earth, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the ultimate fishing tool. Jesus is the ultimate fishing tool. He's even better than Popiel's pocket fisherman. Yeah, he is. There's no catch and release with Jesus. He doesn't go fishing and get tired because he's catching too many fish and lets him go. He never lets him go, does he? Jesus never lets go of the fish that he catches. He calls us all, as he did his disciples, to go fishing for people. He walks by us and says, will you do what I've asked you to do? Will you go out and do some fishing for people? He's not calling novices here. He's not calling people who have never fished. We all know what to say. We all know how to fish. And you know what? Something about fishing for people is that the more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you fish for people, the more comfortable you are doing it the next time. You learn about currents and temperatures and moods and resistances. Sometimes you enjoy sitting back and watching the Holy Spirit work on people, the heavenly bobber who tells what's going on underneath the surface, waiting expectantly for the bait and the hook to sink in. We've done our part and now we have our reward. The Holy Spirit's working in people's lives. Have you ever been fishing for people? It's fun. It is. It's fun. I mean, if you ever go fishing for people, you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it because God works through you. Yes, you. Jesus called these fishermen. They weren't heavenly trained. They were just fishermen. And Jesus called them. If he called them, he'd call you. He can use anybody. I know that firsthand. And sometimes it seems scary just getting into the boat and not knowing what the response will be. And maybe sometimes when you go fishing, you're going to have to go very deep into someone's history and dig out the things that they've accumulated before they'll come into the boat. Maybe when you go fishing, you'll just troll with a net and see who comes in. But you know something about fishing is that whether I caught any fish or not, I just enjoyed sitting by the water and watching it move. I love the analogy to water and fishing. You can't go fishing unless there's water, amen? I mean, I suppose you could call it fishing when you go, if you were to throw something in the air and hit a bird and say, I went fishing for birds, but that's not what fishing is. In order to go fishing, there has to be water. Did you know that there's a river whose streams make glad the people of God? Did you know that there's living water of which we can all drink and be filled? Jesus spoke of that living water. Did you know that there's a river which flows from the throne of God, and beside that river are trees whose leaves are for the healing of the nations? See, the Holy Scriptures are replete with images of water and of people fishing for people. Be filled today with that living water. Be filled today with the living water, and then go fishing. Jesus is still calling all of us to be fishers of people. He's given you everything you need to catch them. And the fishing will not be done unless you do it. God sees the value in all the fish. Did you know that? Doesn't matter if they're small or big, or scorpion fish or sharks. It doesn't matter. God sees the value in all of them. That's the wonderful thing about God that's different from fishing on planet Earth with fish. Like the fish that these people took to the market that I was fishing with, the fish had value to them. Every fish has value to God. Every person, no matter where they are in life and no matter who they are. Father David said it one time when he came back from a trip, he said, there's nobody that cannot be redeemed. Everybody's redeemable. God calls everyone, regardless of what we think their value is. Good fish or bad fish, so to speak. They're all valuable to God. Can you see the potential in the people around you? Can you see with the eyes of the eternal and ultimate fisherman, our Lord himself? Can you invite them in from the deep? Can you invite them to come and die and then to come and dine? Can you bring them into the kingdom and not worry because God will bring them back to life? We don't do that. He does. Let's all go fishing. Let's all go fishing for people. Will you go with me? Amen. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you teach us all how to fish better. Show us, Lord, the ins and outs of fishing for people. Pour out your love in our hearts. Continue, Father, to pour out your love in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we might see the value in each person we encounter, share that love with them, and then learn to patiently fish. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.